Upheaval, breaking point, chapter 48, faithful students. Our nearest contingent is about a week from where the barrier used to be, Your Highness, Commander Moonhaze of the Southern Equestrian Legion said. The unicorn's remaining blue eye, the other one long lost to an Orphidite sniper, gleamed with intensity. The rest of her face showed no emotion.
Our nearest contingent will take longer, around 10 days at best, Commander Stonewall of the Western Equestrian Legion added.
He frowned as he said that, clearly frustrated that his projections were not as good as the previous ones. The lines of age around his face, combined with a myriad of scars around it, made it look like his hide had turned into crumpled parchment.
We are 5 days from the barrier from Summersteel City, Your Highness, Commander Frostbite of the Northern Equestrian Legion said.
There was no mistaking the grin of confidence that split his lips. Several gold teeth shone from his mouth, almost as if they were carefully polished just for this moment.
I guarantee a batch of chosen recruits in a week once you give an order.
Within his new personal quarters in Bastion City's Grand Meeting Hall, Prince Tirado nodded to acknowledge the reports coming from the medical images his Legion commanders. Not even half an hour after an audience with his sisters and the Elements of Harmony, he was already hearing responses from his orders.
Let me be perfectly clear on this, he told them sternly. The Legion is going to the Heartland to acquire resources both in ponies and materials. Reprisals of any sort from Legionnaires who had a problem with the barrier will be punished severely. Do you understand?
Yes, Your Highness, all three replied.
Tirado dismissed the communication spell and stared at his room's fireplace. Dreadstep had been out to vacate his quarters to give to him, but he refused. He took a bit of pleasure in reminding his subjects what his title actually meant. Shaping stone came easily to him, even when he was tired. With a single spell, the Grand Meeting Hall had another room, complete with a fireplace. It was modest in size and amenities, not only to suit his tastes, but also because he refused to stay in a better room than Celestia. With his orders given out and the Legion moving smoothly for now, Tirado let himself relax for some time. Already the tasks ahead were looming over him. He wanted that decree from Celestia as soon as possible, but he was certainly not going to go around rushing her. The transition was going to be a complicated process as well. Ideally, the Chosen should move on their own once Celestia's decree started spreading. He could expect volunteers to line up and resources on the move. Of course, ideally would never happen, especially since after what he had seen when he visited Canterlot. Tirado shook his head and reminded himself that he shouldn't expect his sister to run her realm similarly how he did his. Judging her capital city by his standards and tastes would be unfair. Still, the glaring colors, the excessive luxuries. He wrinkled his nose in disgust. Though it disturbed him, he did feel an urge to cause an earthquake then and there to see if these ponies could pull it together during a crisis or if Celestia's capital was truly a hive of useless fobs. That the other settlements in the Heartland might be the same filled him with concern. Recruitment was only one part of his concerns, and it wasn't even the first. He gave the Legion 6 months to produce an army of reserves. In those 6 months, he should have Fangbreaker back and operational so he could launch his invasion in the spring. 6 months was optimistic. If Celestia's Chosen proved to be uncooperative, just how many Legionnaires would have to be sent over to subdue them? He couldn't afford a civil war, even if it was his well-trained army against a horde of pie-throwing foals. Converting the Heartland's resources would be a problem all on its own, even if the Chosen were completely cooperative. That wasn't even mentioning the impact on the economy. He was likely going to take away the hardest workers, then make them supply the Legion on top of supporting themselves. He also didn't expect them to start producing weapons and other materials at top-notch quality when they've never had to for centuries. Experts from the barrier lands would have to be sent to teach them and set up the proper industries. And that was merely the problems within Equestria. Outside, it was a different set of problems. Aragak and Sessif were likely on the move. The two have been silent for too long. He cast aside the worries for now. Tomorrow morning, reports would be coming in after his initial plans were carried out. That would be the time to be bothered by all of this. As his mind went to other matters, he concentrated on a spell, pulling a bundle of letters from his personal extra-dimensional space. He sorted them out with his telekinesis, letting them float in front of him while he read.
Dearest Prince Tirado, it has been a couple of days since I arrived here in Stoneguard Fortress. The situation is rather dire at the moment, resources are scarce, morale is low, and the Ursans are firmly entrenched in the area. I sincerely apologize for fearing that you would send me someplace safe for my first assignment, and I thank you for this opportunity to test myself. As a start, I thoroughly investigated this fortress and found Commander Richsoil guilty of willful negligence and mismanagement, so I had him executed. He's still hanging by the courtyard as I write this letter. Most of the fort's legionnaires have taken well to my decision, but his family appears to be the vengeful type. I'm going to have to keep eyes on them and make sure those eyes are attached to armed legionnaires. Your faithful student, Black Rose.
Stoneguard Fortress. Tirado remembered that place well. Stoneguard had been a problem spot, once referred to by legionnaires as the Ursan Meat Locker, for its high casualty rate. It was her first step, the beginning of her rise. Though faced with a daunting task, her elegant, curving script spoke only of supreme confidence, even during her first assessment.
Dearest Prince Tirado, today I had the opportunity to apply you a doomed spies lecture. We caught a couple of worthless ponies who were planning on deserting this morning. I offered them both a pardon and a chance to be transferred to a less dangerous post if they would deliver a secret message while posing as food delivery to a nearby outpost. I then filled them with false information and sent them through a route that we knew that the Ursans were watching. My scouts told me that the Ursans hadn't even mentioned torture when they started talking. Of course, the Ursans caught hold of my secret plans and placed their troops accordingly. An entire company of them walked right into our prepared ambush, resulting in a glorious victory for the day. I can only hope I have more opportunities to apply your teachings. Your faithful student, Black Rose.
She received just that. The pride of seeing his protege excel using the skills he taught her was one of the most wonderful things he had ever felt. When he learned that Celestia herself had a student, he could understand the reason, even if he knew where that path would eventually lead.
Dearest Prince Tirado, things have become rather interesting these past few days. My scouts report of a growing rift between the Ursan commander, Gro Bar Half, and one of his more popular warriors, Drorak Rob. It seems our recent victories have resulted in a questioning of their commander's leadership. I think this is the time to finish them off. I'm about to launch a two-pronged attack on their main camp, during which I will personally lead a force to inflict heavy casualties on Gro Bar Half's forces, while having the ponies engaging Drorak Rob retreat. The effect should be telling. Your faithful student, Black Rose.
Dearest Prince Tirado, I am writing you right now from the Ursan camp. It's only been a few hours since our second assault. When the dust settles from the first one, I had my scouts check up on the Ursans. As planned, the ruckus of their infighting was so loud that I was already preparing troops before the scouts even returned. The final attack was rather disappointing. There was just a hoofful of Ursans either too injured from all the fighting or drunk from their celebration of their new leader. For a none-too-bright brute, Drorak Rob has surprisingly soft fur. He'll make a fine rug and I shall have a wonderful present for you upon my return. I look forward to my next assignment. Your faithful student, Black Rose.
A knock on Torado's door brought a frown to his face. With a wave of his hoof, he sent the letters back to his extra-dimensional space.
"You should be resting by now," he said sternly when the door opened.
Luna entered the room despite the harsh welcome.
"And your temper should have cooled by now," she replied.
Tirado turned around, quietly swearing that, if Luna looked bedraggled enough, he was going to wrap her in chains and put her back in her quarters. He relented when he saw her. She did look a little better despite the short time. Again, he realized that he was underestimating her.
"How is Celestia?" he asked.
Luna let out a sigh.
"She's fine. If you're so worried, you should visit her."
Tirado returned to staring at the fireplace.
"After threatening to force a truth on her chosen if she didn't tell them, followed by shouting her student down and smashing a door in front of her?"
I don't understand you, Big Brother. There's no pony in this entire world who cares more for Big Sister, but you keep ending up like this.
Tirado smiled morosely. Clearly I've been going about things wrongly. You're still on a roll, little sister. Advise me.
Luna raised an eyebrow, unsure if he was serious or not. Eventually she decided to humor him this time.
You can start by not picking on her student from now on, she said. For both their sakes.
I never picked on that grape of a pony.
You had her whipped and you just chowded her down a while ago.
First of all, I didn't have her whipped. I was going to have her friend hanged as the laws dictated, but she decided that she had a better grasp of those laws. She should consider it a favor on my part that I let her be whipped.
And the shouting her down part?
Tirado's smile disappeared. That was just an hour or so ago, and thinking about it was still irritating.
What about it? I'd say she knows that I'm not going to kill her because Celestia values her greatly, and she's an integral part of the Elements of Harmony, so she's flaunting that fact by tempting fate repeatedly.
Twilight Sparkle is a good pony, Big Brother. She came to this place by her own will to help out. At a great cost, I might add. You make her sound like a smug, spoiled filly hiding behind our sister when you can see how hard she's fighting.
Tirado snorted.
Well, both can be true, can't they?
Please try to get along better with her. I'm sure Big Sister would be able to relax more around you if you treated her student well.
All right, Luna. If it makes you feel any better, I'm not going to lose my temper with Celestia's precious little student again. I will still enforce my laws strictly, and the next time she's slated for 30 lashes, she gets 30.
I suppose that's good enough for now.
Now that the small matters are out of the way, tell me what you really came here for.
As Tirado expected, his sister fell silent. A small part of him sensed that this was the time he would come over and assure her that she could tell him anything, and that he would listen calmly and reasonably. The rest of him, however, already had an idea of what this might be about. Those parts were all perfectly fine with it if she was overcome with nervousness and decided not to go through with it after all. Luna did speak again, however. For the first time, Tirado was less than pleased by his little sister's newfound courage and initiative.
I want to talk about your student this time.
Tirado didn't need to look at Luna to tell that she approached the subject nervously. Black Rose. Of course she wanted to talk about Black Rose. The thought of simply saying nothing until Luna went away was tempting. Let the others see Black Rose as simply a deranged and rebellious student of his, and leave it at that.
Go on,
he said, consigning himself to the painful recollection that followed. He deserved this after all.
How did she do that, Big Brother? No matter how gifted she is, she shouldn't have the knowledge to transform herself like that. The only way to even put together such magic would be...
Glean it from the eternal herd, Tirado said.
If he was going to tell the truth about this, he may as well get to the point.
You already have your suspicions, Luna. Out with them.
Then it's true, Luna said sadly. You taught her the means. I didn't even think it was possible. But why and how?
How would the reason and the method matter now?
Tirado asked angrily. He rounded on Luna so quickly that she hastily took a couple of steps back.
It was a stupid and reckless mistake from a long time ago, and it doesn't change what we have to deal with right now.
It's not about changing our situation, Luna said in a more subdued tone. I just thought it would put you more at ease if you told some pony.
Tirado caught himself, realizing that he was lashing out again when he should be coming clean.
So this is for me, is it?
He snorted at the thought. He went back to staring at the fireplace.
I've already told you of how important Black Rose was to me, remember? He said.
Yes, Luna replied cautiously. She was your greatest legionnaire and companion.
She was also mortal, Tirado added. And that never left my mind. It didn't matter how many victories she won or how many favors I showered her with. I knew that she was closer to death with each passing day.
Now that he started talking about it, Tirado recalled those days. Such a strange time it was when looked back to them. Days of fierce pride, nights of fiercer passion, and those waking hours when it was just him, an ache in his chest and a growing sense of dread inevitably.
Faced with Luna's questioning eyes, he went on, forcing himself to talk past the melancholy.
Black Rose changed everything. I didn't care for these mortals. They were just tools to fulfill Celestia's wishes, statistics, and resources. Black Rose was different. Oh, I tried reminding myself that they were all meant to die and that they were going to be happy in the eternal hurt. I just...
He raised a hoof as if to stomp against the ground, but he lowered it at the last moment.
I just couldn't bear facing the future without her.
Dorado's face hardened. He never thought that what he did next was a good idea. He knew what the consequences were. The stupidity lay in that he wholly believed in its necessity.
So I decided to do something about it, he continued. Each mortal pony, no matter how far removed from their ancestors, has a spark of Oceanus within, a spark of Alicornhood, so to speak. If I could somehow enhance that, I could make Black Rose into one of us and have her rule by my side.
Luna pressed her lips together. It was easy for Torado to tell that she already pieced it together. Here was the Sixth Rebellion at last. It was a law given to all of the Eternal Herd when the first mortal ponies crawled from the blood of Oceanus. Do not tamper with their final fate. Lexarius had broken that law by trapping the souls of ponies in this world in a vain attempt to keep what he was doing from the Eternal Herd.
I went as far as to contact the Eternal Herd, he went on. From the lore I gathered, I created the Ascendancy Ritual, a spell that would grant Black Rose the power of an Alicorn. But to enhance that spark, it had to be fed the sparks of others. If I wanted to extend Black Rose's life, I needed to sacrifice other ponies.
Luna's eyes widened.
You didn't, she whispered. Did you do exactly that?
I was determined to, Torado replied. Everything was ready. I had a village to the south about to be overrun by Ophidite raiders.
He closed his eyes.
But I decided against it at the last moment. I destroyed my research and convinced myself to watching Black Rose eventually fade away.
His voice grew harsh. That was a turning point. It was at that moment that he had realized that his faithful student was gone and a monster of his own making had taken her place.
Black Rose discovered my work anyway. She recreated the Ascendancy Ritual and secretly began to use it.
Torado thrust a hoof towards the fire. Despite being so close, he could barely feel any warmth from the flames. How many ponies had Black Rose fed on before he killed her? He didn't know. What he knew was that they would have been fewer if he wasn't so blind. Memory was a strange thing. When had he really found out about the truth, and how long did it take him to acknowledge it enough to act? How many years did he spend trying to convince himself that Black Rose was merely aging very, very slowly? Silence, sick and distancing, fell across the room.
Say it,
Torado finally said after some time.
What?
Say what's on your mind. Say that this is all my fault. I gave Black Rose the means to become what she is today. My selfish desires and blind infatuation caused all of this.
Luna shook her head.
You're looking at the wrong pony if you're looking for blame, Big Brother, she said. You're forgetting that I've made my mistakes too. So has Big Sister.
So you have, Torado replied. So much for being the best choice as stewards for this world.
Luna set aside her own fear towards her brother and walked to his side.
Black Rose was not just the start of something bad, Big Brother, she told him. You've come to care about all mortals afterwards, didn't you? That's a good thing.
Torado snorted and put a foreleg around Luna.
The moon is at its most beautiful during the winter, little sister, he said with a smile. Is that why you're on such a roll?
Luna smiled at the compliment. The two of them stared quietly at the fire for some time, wishing that the future would share even the slightest bit of its brightness. Standing by the ruins of her old tower, Black Rose watched with a smile as the sun descended into the horizon and the heat of day gave way to comforting shadow. The transition between day and night quickly became her favorite part of her new responsibility. It required a certain degree of cooperation between her and Princess Luna, whose job it was to raise the moon as she lowered the sun.
She liked to think that despite the tragic but necessary harm she had to do to Celestia, the Princess of the Night would be impressed, even slightly, by how quickly she took to her new role. She made her way through the rubble, daintily picking through the pieces of obsidian and indulging in feelings of nostalgia. Prince Tirado had raised this tower for her, fashioning it from her favorite material. During the height of her command of the Legion, the tower was the most beautiful structure in all of the barrier lands. It was an elegant, tapering structure of gleaming blackness, where she spent many a day crafting plan after plan to bring more glory to her prince's realm. And the knights. She closed her eyes and let the familiar feeling flow through her. These past days have been one thrilling improvisation after another. Now that she was at this stage, she had some time to relax before starting the next part of her plans. She stood right before the great pillar of rock that her beloved had used to crush her. It was a rather crude and brutal end for some pony like her. When she had found out that he was already heading for her home, she had imagined that scenario to have a bit more intimacy, more passion. A knife to the heart up close, a strangling with his bare hoofs. Having a giant rock drop on her head was rather impersonal. Perhaps, should another opportunity present itself, Tirado would choose more to her taste. A second one would have to be placed in the far future. Preparing for the first one required immense resources and careful planning in the form of hundreds of stasis clones scattered all throughout the barrier lands, a few even being carefully hidden in enemy territory. Most of them were eventually rooted out and destroyed by her mentor, but all she needed was one to survive so she could anchor herself to this world. To increase her chances, she had placed them in a dormant state to make detection more difficult, even at the cost of leaving her in stasis for several centuries. And it did just that. 700 years passed before she awoke to continue her plans, plans that required even more time. It was just in time as well. She had predicted that Nightmare Moon's return would move King Fenrir to make a major assault, and she had awakened before that required time. Black Rose's thoughts went fondly towards a certain unicorn mare. Twilight Sparkle, even the name was music to her ears. She had braced herself for watching more of her beloved Equestria being ravaged by a horde of wolven before the opportunity to act arrived. Instead, she witnessed the miracle that was Twilight Sparkle's rebellion. The change that mare brought with her was exhilarating. To her, it was as if the entire world accelerated upon the arrival of Twilight Sparkle. The rebels that she had resigned herself to keeping alive for a long time were rendered obsolete after merely aiding the fall of Fangbreaker Fortress. The Wolven had barely penetrated the north when Celestia was ready to be brought to the Barrier Lands. There was no need to wait for Sungazer to educate his children about the conspiracy, let alone his grandchildren, and there was certainly no more need to keep the Order of True Equestrians around. All these tools she had carefully procured and maintained over the years since she awakened had all been thrown out of the window by a purple chosen unicorn and her band of loyal friends. It wasn't just the acceleration that excited her. She was presented with an interesting group of adversaries in the form of the Elements of Harmony, a challenge that she was more than glad to accept. She already had plans laid out for each of them, thanks to the extensive profiling that Spike had provided her during that one morning in Bastion City. To implement each of them would be a wonderful time indeed. Upon arriving at her destination, Black Rose set aside the excited anticipation for a while. At a small, untended corner of her island were several unmarked graves. Throughout the centuries, they had remained untouched. She was glad that the Legion respected her enough to leave her home alone despite her death. Here, she sacrificed her most loyal servants in preparation for her demise and transition into the future. She concentrated on her new power and channeled it through spells she had long researched from the ancient library of Lexarius himself. She could sense the spirits of her favored servants. They were trapped by enchantments that a powerful pony from the Eternal Herd itself had developed. Then they were kept dormant to keep them from being noticed. Arcs of powerful magic coursed through the ground and crackled all around her as her summons awakened them. The shadows coalesced and her former officers materialized one by one. There was no need for words. with a sound like the quick passing of a gentle breeze, they recognized her and what her presence meant. All they needed now were physical bodies which she had to craft or procure sometime soon. She frowned upon seeing that, of the six she had preserved, only four had risen. The spells around the remaining two had somehow deteriorated, causing them to cross over to the eternal herd.
"Such a shame," she thought. "And I wanted to pit my six against Celestia's. It looks like I have to acquire two new ones from the Legion, perhaps even the Heartland."
She let out a brief laugh, then turned her gaze towards the beautiful winter moon out tonight. How bright the future looked, how clear and sublime, just like Princess Luna's moon.
"Just a little more, beloved," she whispered. "I promise."